fantasy football fiends, what's going on out there? We are back with the fantasy show, bringing you the heat. I don't know if you guys or how many of you guys paid attention last year, but man, the amount of nuggets that you would have picked up off of this show from the both of us, there's no way you wouldn't, first of all, make the playoffs. And if you played in multiple leagues, there's almost not a way you wouldn't have won a championship. People as deep as Darnell Mooney and Sam Darnold are players that we gave you to have on your radar because they were going to show up. We're going to do the same thing again this year. Make sure that you are very much aware of what's going on in the wonderful world of fantasy sports. With that being said, my name is Zay. I'm the fantasy football fiend, and I have my guy, your guy, Young Vander. The people have been missing you over the last couple of weeks. Vander, holler at the people.
Hey, man, what's going on out there?
All right, so let's go ahead and remind you that we are on YouTube at The Gospel STP. We are on Facebook. Join the Facebook group. A lot of additional information, updates, insights, all that good stuff you can find on the Facebook group, and that is the Gospel Sports Truth Facebook group. So today's show is pretty straightforward. We're going to be talking about the moves that have been made as far as free agency is concerned, people that have left circumstances, people that have re-signed, trades, all of that good stuff, how we feel about the particular players, and how it's going to impact the fantasy season with what we know today. Let's go ahead and start out with quarterbacks. I'll throw out the names and you speak on who you would like as far as fantasy is concerned. Sam Darnold is now a Seahawk, 3 years, $110.5 million, $55 million guaranteed. But don't let the big number fool you. He's essentially a one-year contract with no dead cap money after the first year. So if it don't work out, that 3 years is much ado about nothing. Sam Darnold again, Seahawks, 3 years, $110.5 million, $55 million guaranteed. Justin Fields to the Jets on a two-year, $40 million deal, $30 million guaranteed. Jimmy G re-upped 1 year with the Rams. Zach Wilson to the Dolphins, 1 year, $6 million. Kenny Pickett traded to the Browns for Dorian Thompson Robinson. Daniel Jones is a Colt, 1 year, $14 million. Mac Jones is a 49er, two years, $7 million. Mason Rudolph is a Steeler yet again. The Particle Son returned, 2 years, $8 million. And who else? Gardner Minshew is a Chief now. So he's backing up Patty, and you still have Russell Wilson, Jameis Winston, Joe Flacco, Aaron Rodgers as guys that are out there looking for jobs. So as far as the guys that have jobs, we know Sam Darnold is going to start. We pretty much know Justin Fields is going to start. How do you feel about their outlook? And do you feel like this is a lateral move, upgrade, downgrade? How are we feeling fantasy-wise about these moves?
Well, as far as Sam Darnold goes, I think it's a downgrade. He's going to a kind of similar offense, though, being that Kubiak would be the play call up there. So it should be some familiarity in that. But at the same time, you have less weapons. And what I mean by that, I mean you're playing with Justin Jefferson and you're playing with guys like Addison. And this is no knock on, you know, Njigba, but he's no Justin Jefferson. So with that being said, I think it's a small downgrade. That being concerned, I would say that. As far as Justin Fields go, I don't think he's going to be a great NFL quarterback. This could be some good fantasy because, I mean, as far as, you know, he does run and they may take advantage of that. As far as using his legs, it's an upgrade, small upgrade, because I think he'll have a better coordinator in New York than he did playing with
Chicago.
Arthur Smith calling the plays.
Steelers,
So I'll tell you what, this is more of a lateral move if Fields is in Chicago.
Okay.
So I think it's lateral Chicago, but it's upgrade versus Pittsburgh, where it was down coming from Chicago. So I think kind of goes back up a little bit to that Chicago field. So whether Fields finished that a year before last, I think that'll be probably around where he'll be as far as going into the season.
And if I recall correctly, I want to say he was the top 10 quarterback in fantasy.
There you go. But again, not really a top 10 quarterback in real football, right? So I think in fantasy implications, it'd be probably pretty good. Actually, the one move I do like is the Daniel Jones move, to be honest with you.
Do you think he ends up starting over Richardson?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because he's sneaky athletic.
Yeah.
He's playing behind a better offensive line now. And he has better weapons now. Didn't really have the best of wide receivers in New York. He did have a run game in New York with Saquon, but now he goes back to another good running back in Jonathan Taylor. I think this is a sneaky. This is maybe one of those Donald moves.
Yeah, agreed.
One of the ones people didn't see coming.
Yep.
But again, like you told people in the intro, listen closely, and we're going to give you some of those gems. And I think this could be the guy. I'm not ready to sign it off yet. Like last year, I was beating the drum on Donald, right? So I think he could be the one to watch when it comes to fantasy this year because, again, Daniel Jones is not – he's decent. But I think they can really take advantage of some of his athletic ability and also, again, playing behind a way better offensive line than he has seen thus far in his career. So
that matters a lot. And people have to remember – When Daniel Jones wasn't hurt, he didn't have very many weapons, but he was fantasy relevant because he run the ball. So, I mean, yeah, I completely – and that's funny that you say that because that's the same thought that I had in mind. The guy that everybody's disrespecting, if you will, this year is in a much better situation. Yeah. And I believe that you're going to be able to get him similarly to where Darnold went in the draft.
Absolutely.
And you're going to get – I won't say similar results because nobody was expecting best record in NFL, number one fantasy quarterback for a good bit of the year. I don't see that from Jones, but I do see you being able to get a return on investment similarly based on where you would have to pick him up. There's going to be a couple – and Fields isn't too far from it either. As far as guys that you can get later – if you're in a one quarterback league or as a second or third quarterback, if you're in a super flex or two QB league,
sure.
As far as Kenny Pickett is concerned, who got traded to the Browns and Mason Rudolph, if Aaron Rodgers ends up being a Viking or retiring or going to the Giants or whatever happens there, is there another veteran out there that would trump one of the two of them, or with the Steelers kind of be stuck with one of the two? And if you're in fantasy and they're out there for free right now, you may just want to pick them up to see what happens or until something happens. What's your outlook on that situation?
Well, I mean, right now is a two-man race. And that's what the teams with Pittsburgh, I must say New York and Cleveland. And those guys are Rodgers and Wilson, right? I think that's like a two-man thing. Everybody's kind of holding it close to the vest right now, trying to see who's going to do what.
Well, what it is Rodgers wants to play for the Vikings. The Vikings haven't made a decision on whether or not they want to bring him in. So until they make that decision, he won't say yes or no to the Steelers or Giants, which either one of them will be willing to take him. And it will make much more sense for him to go to the Steelers. So the Steelers don't want to make a move until he makes a move. So that's the domino. And honestly, I kind of feel like the Vikings want to get more of a feel for J.J. McCarthy, whether or not he's healthy and whether or not he'll be able to go out there and do something before they commit to Aaron Rodgers. Because if you commit to Aaron Rodgers, you're putting J.J. McCarthy on the shelf for 2 years minimum. Well,
and I think that's actually a good thing, right?
It's not a bad thing.
Yeah, I think having McCarthy on the shelf one more year would not be hurtful at all, being that he's coming off a season and an injury and gives him another red shirt year. So I think bringing in a guy like a Rodgers will be a good bridge until he's ready to go, because it's essentially going to be a one-year deal.
Like a good bridge. Russell Wilson would actually be the better bridge. And the reason why is he would actually act like a bridge. Aaron Rodgers ain't trying to teach J.J. McCarthy nothing. Aaron Rodgers is going to go in there and still give everybody his behind. Like, it's going to be about Aaron Rodgers. Russell Wilson showed you last year that he was willing to make, even though he wanted the starting job, he wasn't going to hold anything back from Justin Fields. Like, it's, if I want a bridge guy, I want that type of guy. It's the same reason why Cam Newton don't have a job right now. It's not that he's not more talented than some of the guys that have a job right now. It's the attitude that you bring to the job. You're not going to help me bring this rookie along that I just drafted, and if he doesn't work out, I'm losing my job. Doesn't matter how well you do, because you aren't good enough anymore to get us far enough to not get me fired for drafting that guy. So that's the issue where Stefanski, wait, is it Stefanski?
No.
No, that's Cleveland. What's the Vikings coach name? I'm tipping my tongue. At any rate, that's the decision that they have to make.
Yeah,
it's not a matter of talent, because right now the most talented quarterback left, I do believe, is Aaron Rodgers. But it's, do you want the headaches? Are you going to hire this guy knowing that he's not going to practice in the offseason, and he's going to go on his yearly drug retreat and report back that he's having fun while everybody else is working? That's not everybody's cup of tea. I think Mike Tomlin would probably be better equipped to handle that situation than they would be as far as the Vikings are concerned. Yeah. And you don't, Sam Darnold showed you last year that you don't need an Aaron Rodgers type to get that team where you need to go. That's a carbon copy of what Seattle was back in the day when Russell Wilson took them to the Super Bowl. So, I mean, and he, I don't even think he's meant with them. But if I was looking between two vets and I do want to bring J.J. McCarthy along, I'm bringing along the guy that I know is going to pour into him. I'm also bringing along the guy that's going to give me the least amount of headaches as a coach, the least amount of press that I have to speak to and other players that I have to speak to because of what he's getting away with, and he hasn't earned the cachet on this team.
So, well, this,
those
is
the, are my thoughts.
The coach is O'Connell. But
yeah.
Which guy gives you the better chance to win is the question. So I get all the other stuff. Again, I guess Rodgers has made it, still found a way to make it about him in a way, right? With this holdout thing, trying to figure out who's going where. But which guy going to give you the best opportunity to win?
And that's, I don't know at this point that it wouldn't be Russell Wilson. Like, what is Aaron Rodgers showing you as of late that he's, I mean, I just don't know.
He throws the ball better than Russ. I mean, it is what it is. You can say what you want, but you look at the numbers. I mean, he didn't have the Aaron Rodgers we accustomed to year, but he still didn't have a bad year. I mean, he threw for 3,800 yards, 28 touchdowns, 11 picks is high for him because he's usually a single-digit interception guy. But he finished with a quarterback rating of 90, which ain't bad. You know what I'm saying? So, considering everything, I mean, I probably would still go with, I don't know, seeing Russ in a Viking uniform is just funny to me.
The other thing that's kind of funny is that would then complete the Brett Favre path.
Yeah, absolutely.
For Rodgers. And that's kind of interesting in and of itself to me. But the other guy that I'm looking at a kind of like a little bit of a value, I know that Mike Tomlin would have more faith in Mason Rudolph than he would Kenny Pickett.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that Russell Wilson would more likely go to the Giants than he would having a chance at re-signing with the Steelers, or he may end up being a bridge in Cleveland for whatever that situation looks like.
Well, the funny thing you said, that I could see him being a bridge in New York, maybe.
Yeah.
So, again, I think the New York Giants, they're picking third.
Yeah.
I could very well see them getting Shador. And maybe Shador, they don't see Shador as walking right into the job day one. But he could be somebody that, you know, could be the franchise of the future and have a guy mentor him. So
if that's to happen, that means that nine times out of ten, the Steelers ended up being the odd man out as far as the veteran free agent race. Which means they may be stuck between Mason and Rudolph. Between Rudolph and Pickett.
Yeah. Or let's do this thing. Let's do something different.
Or Flacco.
No. You reach out to the Patriots and throw them that fourth round pick and bring in the boy Milton. There's going to be another way to get out of this thing, right? Besides drafting a guy or.
I don't know that Milton would be better than Mason Rudolph immediately.
Man, I ain't taking Mason Rudolph for no. I'm
just saying he's familiar with the team and they're familiar with him and he's had success with the team. And Mike Tomlin has already shown that he doesn't mind not having a top-notch guy. He's still going to find a way to win. So I don't know that Milton would necessarily be the guy. And there was another team that they were talking about being in discussions for a third round pick. And I don't remember at the moment which team it was. Dang, I read an article earlier today that was talking about him being traded for a third round pick to somebody, but we'll see if and when that happens.
I'm not taking Mason Rudolph. I'm not taking.
They already took him though. They already gave him a 2-year contract.
That's a backup. That's a backup money. So he can get that, but he's not going to be I'm not starting Mason Rudolph. I'm not starting a Rudolph the Red Nose Reindeer. I'm just not doing it. So I'll take my chances with a guy like Milton, who upside is infinite. You know what I'm saying? We don't know what it is. And just see what I'd rather go that route because I already know who Mason Rudolph is already.
So
I know who he is.
Are you? Let me switch gears completely for 1 second. If you're the Patriots, do you hold on to him thinking that this may end up being an RG3 Kirk Cousins type situation and maybe the backup is the better quarterback?
No, they can't. No? Because, this is a new regime in town. This isn't their guy. He was drafted as a project.
Well, neither one of them are their guy. That's what I'm saying. Like, how do you, I mean?
Yeah, but he's drafted as a project. He's a 6-round pick last year.
But both things can't be true. If he's a project, why do I want to trade for him and start him right away? If he's a project,
I mean, because you already have your starter in the seat already.
No. I mean, as far as other teams are concerned, if I'm giving up a 3rd-round pick,
but they draft him, the Patriots draft him as a project.
Right.
So
what's and if you go from 6 to 3 in a year, that project is working out pretty well. Why would I not hold on to him? Because think about it now. If he's on a rookie deal and he got 2 more years left, if you wanted to give up a 3rd this year.
I don't even think he's the same, but he wasn't even a backup last year. That's I'm saying.
Fine. But it didn't change the fact that he went from a 6th round to a 3rd round.
Well, he's not a 3rd round. He's not going. They ask him for a 3rd. He's not going to get a 3rd. That's number one. They're not going to get a 3rd.
I don't know.
The dude played 1 game against some 3rd stringers, and he's not going to get – they're not going to get 3rd-round compensation.
But yet you're telling me that that was enough for him to be the starter of Pittsburgh.
I just threw something else out there that's different. If you say they lose out on everything, hell, try something different. You know what I'm saying? Like that. I ain't say you throw him a 3rd. You could throw him a 5th. You know what
that
I'm saying?
That ain't happening. And, that ain't happening.
Well, just hold him. I mean, Pittsburgh,
that's what I would do.
You don't want to do that when you're trying to get as much draft compensation as you can to try to rebuild this team. So you want the draft compensation. The draft is coming. You want to pick someone else.
But you you could eventually get that 3rd. The same way you're saying right now, you're asking for a 3rd.
He got to play for you to get the 3rd.
Huh?
He has to play for you to get 3rd. You can't say you can get the 3rd on something nobody hasn't seen. And as long as May is the quarterback and he's healthy, you're not going to get a chance to see it. Nobody's not going to give you the 3rd in the blind.
All you need is a good preseason and an injury.
No. You know what? Third rounds, we've seen Randy Moss went for a 4th round. Like, 3rd rounds are extremely valuable in this league. Somebody's not going to just give you a 3rd round for something what's behind curtain number 2.
And you know what's more valuable than 3rd rounders? 1st rounders that may end up having the same prognosis of success as the dude that you just spent the 3rd round for.
No, so it's not gonna happen.
Just saying. Moving right along here, we have our running backs. Aaron Jones re-signed with the Vikings, 2 years, $20 million. Najee Harris is now a Charger, 1 year, $5 million. Elijah Mitchell is a Chief, 1 year, $3 million. Rico Dow, Panthers, 1 year, $3 million. Jaylen Warren, he was given a 2nd-round tender. And I don't believe anyone reached out for his services. And what do we have on those guys so far?
If you're talking about the love, I love Najee. Again, this is the Sam Darnold of the running backs this year.
Okay.
This is going to be your sleeper. That could, if like, he could,
how much of a sleeper? How far you think he'll fall?
I would have to see what he's ranked at currently, but he's probably around the 16 or something like that. He's probably around there. Just guessing off the top of the head. He's probably in the middle somewhere. But I think he could be a guy that, I mean, he's going to an organization, well, a guy, Harbaugh, that loves to run, ground pound. This could be an RB1 for sure. I can, if he could stay healthy, I'm predicting him having his best year he's had since he's been in the NFL.
Okay.
Fantasy-wise. So, yeah, that being said, I mean, I think he's a steal. Aaron Jones. The water has gotten a lot muddier by the Vikings making a trade with the 49ers bringing in
Mason.
Yeah, Jordan Mason. Jordan Mason. That room has got even more cloudy for him, I think.
Jordan Mason got a 2-year, $12 million deal. Just
so that's decent money. That's I'm playing money, right?
And for comparison's sake, Aaron Jones, 2 years, $20 million. So that does kind of tell you who should get the first go, but they both have a 2-year contract. So right. They'll be that backfield.
Be, sound like a timeshare. They'd be 60.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. You know,
but yeah, I think it's got a little cloudier over there. So Aaron Jones is still good. Catch the ball at the backfield and all those things, but this could be one of those situations where Jordan Mason maybe steal some goal line touches, right? So that I think would affect Aaron Jones as well.
You got Rico Dowell signing with the Panthers, 1 year, $3
million.
Javonta Williams signs with the Cowboys, 1 year, $3 million. Kareem Hunt, Chiefs, 1 year. Kenneth Gainwell, Steelers, 1 year. Khalil Herbert, 1 year with the Colts. Raheem Mostert, 1 year with the Raiders. Miles Sanders, 1 year with the Cowboys. Patrick Taylor, 1 year with the 49ers.
All these injury-based moves. The Cowboys, I don't Jerry just being Jerry, right?
Basically. Jerry being cheap and just went and got a name just to fill a spot.
Yeah. This is one of those situations where two isn't better than one. So he brought in two guys that don't even equal one. So those are one of those situations you have to watch and see what preseason looks like and somebody be phased out. Now, the Dowell move is kind of interesting because it seemed like they just paid Hubbard some money.
They did.
Some pretty good money, too.
But 1 year, $3 million is backup to the backup money.
Yeah, but I'm just saying he's proven that he can, you know, play well. So I thought it was an interesting move, though, to bring him in. Interesting.
Jonathan Brooks is still hurt, the rookie that they drafted. And because he got hurt towards the latter part of the year, they would have needed somebody to be a backup regardless. That's and Miles true. Sanders is out of there.
I think Mostert, that's an interesting move. That can very well pay dividends. But I would have to watch the draft and bring in a Genty, who a lot of people have them mocked up to take early in the first round. So if they bring him in, then, you know, maybe not so much. But I would have to see who the starting guy going into.
I think it'll still be worst-case scenario, a similar feel to what you had in Miami, where they didn't bring him in for nothing. And you basically get him for a bag of chips in most drafts. So if you're going zero RB or if you load it up and now you're just trying to get guys that may be, you know, a bottle rocket, if you will, he's definitely going to be on my list of guys just to have, even if it's just to, you know, game one, game two, he went off. Oh, your running back got hurt. Here you go. Even if it's something like that, I definitely wouldn't be depending on him for the year. But I think he'll start out the year with a lot more touches than he'll end up on the back end of the year. And, you know, and again, like value-wise, there won't be too many more with much more value because you can get him, you know, as you're probably your fifth running back, something stupid like that. What are your thoughts on Kareem Hunt as far as the Chiefs are concerned?
That room, again, I look at that room like I look at it's choppy. They have Pacheco's returning. He's going to be a little bit healthier this year. And then they made a trade, or not a trade, but they signed Mitchell.
Mitchell. Oh, yeah. Elijah Mitchell.
Yeah. So again,
I'm not worried about that. I don't think he's been healthy for more than 3 months in a row. By the time the season rolls around,
yeah, but he's there.
He won't be. He won't be.
To me, he won't be.
He hasn't had a healthy season. Literally, he has not had a healthy season in the NFL yet.
What I'm saying is, he's not maybe not there to be the starter, but he's in the room.
No, he's never been the starter, and he's never had a healthy season.
Elijah Mitchell has been the guy before,
bruh. He started because somebody in front of him got hurt, and then he got hurt. He's never been the guy.
No, he'd been the guy before McCaffrey showed up, right?
No. He was the guy because somebody else got hurt.
Mm.
You got to remember, most start and somebody else was there when he was there. And then they got hurt, and that's how he came up. But then he got hurt.
I just think, again, he's going to do a little bit. I mean, maybe you get 600 yards out of him, something like that.
No.
Who, Kareem
Hunt? Has he got that in his career?
I'm a Kareem Hunt.
Oh. I thought you were talking about Mitchell. My fault.
No, it's Kareem Hunt. Maybe you'll get, you know, something like that, 500 yards, something out of him. But
I think he'll be a consistent flex because they do like to use him on the goal line. And he's a good third down back, and Isaiah Pacheco hasn't shown himself to be as healthy as most. So I think it'll be Pacheco and Hunt as one and two.
Yeah. I actually see them drafting a running back as well, though.
I could see that.
And they usually find.
But it'll be late, though. It'll be late.
But they usually find gems late, fifth round, sixth round. They could find a guy. So
what you thinking about Gainwell? Is this going
to
be
nothing
a
to see
one-two here. Punch situation, or is it now going to be all Jalen Warren? Or are they drafting a guy? What are we doing?
They may draft a guy, but Gainwell is going to be maybe some third down, maybe just more special team stuff like that. I don't see him really contributing. I mean, because Jalen Warren is a good guy at the backfield; he can catch the ball as well. So, I mean, he's a three down back at this point. I think Gainwell is just special teams, and that kind of. Nothing fantasy relevant at all. At all.
A guy that I think is kind of interesting, don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not saying you need to go chasing. He might actually be free right now. But the Colts have, as of late, been using multiple backs. And if Khalil Herbert is going to be the backup for JT, I can see him having more of a consistent role than he's had on his last two teams. And he's definitely the next man up on that team. There isn't really a third guy worth mentioning. So I could see, him being one of those guys that's an important handcuff that you don't even have to draft. He'll be so far back that you could probably get him either with one of your last picks, or he may be on the waiver in Dynasty, depending on how large your Dynasty is. But I kind of like the dart throw that he could be in a larger league, a okay end-of-the-bench flex type of a situation, depending on what happens. If they follow the same path that they've been attempting to follow over the last couple of years, remember when JT and Zach Moss were together, both were able to get a little bit of run. I'm not saying that Khalil Herbert is a Zach Moss. I'm just saying that he may have that sort of a responsibility, if you will. What he does with it is yet to be seen, but he's a guy that'll essentially be free. What are your thoughts as far as getting that guy free?
It will take an injury for him to get on the field, really, to give you some. And I mean, Jonathan Taylor is no stranger to that, but I don't think it's one of those two-headed things where they're going to really use him. Jonathan Taylor coming off over 300 touches, and he played like 14 games. So do the math on that, right? As long as he's healthy, you won't see Herbert that much. But again, like you said, I think he can be one of the better handcuffs this year. There's some good ones, but I think he'd be one that is definitely to watch due to the injury history of Jonathan Taylor.
Wide receivers, we're going to go about three at a time. There are a ton of wide receivers, and just about each one of them are worth speaking on. We have your boy T. Higgins and your boy Ja'Marr Chase signed for the richest duo of wide receivers in the league and in league history. Man, let's just stop there to start. I understand the sentiment in trying to keep your quarterback happy.
Yeah.
But you haven't had offensive problems when one of the two of those guys have been off the field because they've kind of been hurt intermittently.
Mm-hmm.
But you literally can't afford to pay anybody else now. I don't know that the trio of Higgins, Chase, and Burrow are so good that you don't even have to have a defense. Because unless you're just really good at drafting defensive guys, you're not going to have any stalwarts, if you will, on defense because you're not going to be able to pay them. Mm-hmm. So is this a net plus or net minus with what the Bengals have just done to keep their trio together? I know what it is for fantasy as far as Joe Burrow is concerned, but sheesh.
I mean, they definitely need a defense. I mean, their defense is horrible. But with that being said, I'm not sure if they're going to be able to fix it if they didn't sign Higgins back.
That they can't sign anybody else either now.
Yeah, I mean,
and the guys that you draft and raise up in your own organization, your money's tied up. You can't even pay them.
Yeah.
So it's going to be constant churn on defense. I don't see how that's a winning formula.
Nah, they're playing like the Warriors right now. They're just going to try to outscore everybody. They're going to shoot a lot of threes and see what happens at the end of the game. And, I mean, they was close to winning this year. They was close to getting in the playoffs this year with that same formula. But you want your franchise quarterback happy. They probably got about, hell, damn near $600 million tied up in three guys. This is crazy. It's a lot.
It's ridiculous. They have, I believe the blurb that I read said that they have about 40% of their total cap wrapped up in those three guys.
Mm.
40% of your entire cap.
I mean, that happens sometimes. You just don't see it happen.
Not that much.
No. I'm about to give you an example. It happens. You don't see it tied up into those three positions, two receivers and a quarterback. But the Cowboys about being in the same situation with CeeDee, Dak, and
Paul. That's not a winning formula. That's not good for them.
But what I'm telling you is you can very well see three players take up a good bit of your cap space. You just don't see it again in those positions. You normally see it
on teams that aren't winning championships. Or can you think of a team that tied up that 40% of that, almost 50% of that cap space on three dudes and one?
No.
I can't think of it.
Well, you got to get really lucky, just like the Eagles got lucky this year where you have rookies playing, producing, people on the rookie contract.
See how many players they had to get rid of.
Yeah, now because the bubbles pop.
Yeah.
But at that time, the rookies and some of these free agents, because like Zach Bond, he's an all-pro linebacker who's been a special teams guy his whole career. Yeah. Like, you have to get lucky on that standpoint. You have a guy like him. You got the rookies, Jalen Carter. You got the other rookie, Jordan Davis. You got Nolan Smith. Those are three guys on the line that's all rookies getting paid rookie contract money. You got the rookie, Mitchell. You got the rookie cornerback from Iowa. It's both starting. Playing, so you had to get lucky and hit it out of the park.
I don't look at that as luck. They've shown over the years the skill to be able to do it.
No, that's luck. What I'm saying is having
what rookies does Cincinnati have that they?
But that's what I'm saying. You have to get lucky as far as being able to when you do draft these guys. Is what I'm saying that they are contributing right away.
But what I'm saying is the difference is this: the Bengals paid their guys before they got the rookies. The Eagles know they have their rookies locked up for the next three, four years.
Not some because, I mean, they paid Saquon. They just paid Jalen. A.J. Brown had a pretty good contract. Deontay Smith
What I'm saying is they already have the rookies that they can pay the vets. Cincinnati got the vets and don't have no rookies.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, coming into this draft, like, you're going to have to knock it out the park with these
selections.
Hope that these young guys.
I guess what I'm saying is it don't normally work out that way. You don't suck at drafting, pay guys, and then all of a sudden become good at drafting.
But that's what I'm saying. You have to get lucky, meaning that these young players are going to have to play immediately and give you something. they're not going to have time to mature and grow up. They got to hit the ground running. So that's what I'm saying.
Then the other part is there are not a lot of free agents that want to come play for Cincinnati either.
Again, that's another reason why I felt that they did what they did. Because the thing came down to, is you going to sign T. Higgins or are you going to sign Hendrickson? That's really what it came down to.
I would have signed Hendricks. Hendricks is number four in tackles over the last 2-3 years.
I think they're still working on a deal for him. I'm not sure what it's going to look like.
But if you sign him, you definitely don't have no room for them. You definitely working with rookies at that point.
Yeah. It's like one of these NBA teams. You have a big three, and then the team is filled with vet minimums and stuff like that. Like, you just have to.
But when that works for the NBA, it's because vet minimums want it to play for you. I don't know too many vet minimums that want to go to Cincinnati.
The ones that want to go to Cincinnati, it's the ones that don't have anywhere to go. Well, we see this every year. There's going to be some guys that's on the frigid list that don't have a home at all, right?
Fair enough.
Those are the guys that you're going to probably bring in a bunch of guys that have a little bit left in the tank and try to fill out the rest of that roster.
Makes sense. A few more wide receivers to discuss. Deebo Samuels is now a Commander via trade. DK Metcalf is a Steeler on a 5-year, $150 million contract via trade. Chris Godwin re-signed with the Buccaneers. 3 years, $66 million. Left money on the table to not become a Patriot and to remain a Buccaneer. Let's stop there. Deebo, DK, Godwin, what you got?
I like this Deebo move.
I do too.
I think they're going to find some ways.
For a fifth round pick? Like, they knocked that one out the park. A humble pick. And now you don't go into the draft feeling like you have to get a wide receiver high or with an early pick.
I think they got the right signal caller. It's going to, you know, really draw up some things. You got McLaurin who's going to see some good things over the top. Deebo working underneath. Maybe some jet sweeps in there.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
A lot of RPO stuff.
Can you imagine if they had a triple option package with Daniels, Deebo, and Robinson?
They're going to have some stuff. I can see Kingsbury coming up with some. This is a new toy. This is a new toy for him, and he's going to draw some stuff. And then this is a division that hasn't seen this guy, right? So the NFC West has became accustomed to seeing Deebo, but now he plays a team like the Eagles, who he don't like, and he used to give it to the Eagles. But they haven't seen a guy like this in their division. So it's going to be interesting, man. I do like that move. The Pittsburgh move with Metcalf is funny. I know they've been looking for a receiver for a while, but now you have two head cases at wide receiver.
I was about to say, it felt like they traded for the same guy that they don't know what they want to keep.
It's two crash outs at wide receiver. They games are going to be interesting, man. Yo, kudos to Tomlin handling these personalities, man. He's going to have two nut jobs at wide receiver.
With no quarterback. This might be the first season that Tomlin don't win 10 games because I don't know.
He'll find a way.
Hey, but look, though. This is the move that I want to see the Commanders make to put the icing on the cake. Go spend a couple of dollars on Tyler Lockett. Make Tyler Lockett your number three wide receiver. I would love to see Tyler Lockett in that offense. No. You have Scary Terry and Tyler Lockett on the outside with Deebo in the middle with Ertz. I would love to see.
I don't know about Tyler Lockett. I haven't seen anything. He doesn't show me he have anything left.
How not?
Well, you how? Tell me how not. Tell me how.
He's showing you the same thing he's shown every other year.
No.
I haven't seen the slowdown.
No. He hasn't really been doing much, man. He's pulling in.
I'm telling you, Lockett is gonna go somewhere and be a
Lockett has 600 yards receiving.
In a run first offense. As the third receiver, because
what you mean in the run first, he been playing in this.
JSN and DK are the first two wide receivers in that offense, right or wrong. So that's 600 yards as a wide receiver three in your own offense. That's kind of significant.
What the hell do you think he's going to be in this offense?
I think he would be the number two wide receiver, and Debo would be the Swiss Army knife.
Hell no.
It would be no different than it was when Debo was with the 49ers.
No. That boy 33 years old, and his
– this isn't a long-term move. I'm talking about based on their current wide receiver depth chart.
No, there's other guys out there in free agency I'd rather have than Tyler Lockett.
Such as who?
I'd rather have Stephon Diggs than Tyler Lockett.
Diggs ain't even going to be healthy until mid-year.
I'd rather have he's been out there running routes already.
That ain't got nothing to do with nothing.
What you mean he's not going to be healthy? You don't know. We can't say that.
I'm saying he won't be back on the field from that injury week one. I can tell you that.
Speaking
of free agents, I'll throw the free agents out there. Keenan Allen, Amari Cooper, Deontay Johnson, Tyler Lockett, Brandon Cooks, Josh Reynolds.
He'll be next to last on that list.
Not to me.
I'd rather have Cooper before him.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, then. I'd rather have Deontay just a nut butt job. I don't want
Deontay.
But Deontay's way. Deontay's a better talent than him right now, but he's just, I don't know what's going on with him.
I don't. They have a good thing going in the locker room. I don't want to mess that up. I don't want attitudes.
I'd rather have Keenan Allen than him.
I definitely don't want Keenan Allen over him. Keenan Allen stay hurt.
What you mean stay hurt? He wasn't hurt this year.
He was hurt last year. Yeah, he was.
He wasn't hurt this past year.
He was hurt. It was either ankle or knee injury or something. He was hurt last year. He
played 15 games this year.
I understand he played 15 games. There are 18 games in the season, and just because you were in a game doesn't mean you weren't hurt in the same game.
I'm not taking
Keenan Allen over Tyler Lockett at this point.
You tripping.
I'm not doing it.
He played less games than Lockett and had more touchdowns and more yards than him.
Okay.
Okay.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Not doing it.
Way better route runner. All of that. So.
No. I'll give you that. He's the best route runner on the list.
Yeah. Well.
He's for sure.
Amari's a good one, too. Amari's a good one. He don't get to just do, but.
Yeah. But I don't think he has the same route tree as Allen.
Amari?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Because he's never been asked to really be an over-the-middle wide receiver. So I don't think they kind of occupy two different parts of the field. But, I mean, honestly, I'd be okay with either one of them. I just like Tyler Lockett's style.
You're going to get a rookie, man, at this point.
Well, that too. But you got to think of it. They only have two wide receivers on the depth chart. You need more than three. So even if you get the rookie, you still need one or two more.
So they only have two, period.
Remember, De'Ami Brown left. He went somewhere. He was the number two guy. Zacchaeus?
He went
to Chicago.
Nah, they brought in the kid Noah Brown. Remember they brought in the kid Noah Brown from the Texans?
Okay. I forgot about Noah Brown.
You got Luke McCaffrey from last year.
You got who now? Who was that again?
McCaffrey.
He's
still there.
Nah. I'm not. He didn't even get any playing time this year when they didn't have anybody else. So I'm not really.
They signed back KJ Osborne too.
Yeah, not really. Everybody on this list, I take away everybody that was just named. Like every single player on this list.
I like Noah Brown.
I do like Noah Brown, but not better than anybody on this list.
Nah.
Just free agents currently. Yeah. He's not better than Keenan Allen, Cooper, Johnson, Lockett, Cooks, or Reynolds. Never has been.
I bring in Amari Cooper.
I like that. I like that a lot.
That'd be crazy. I think that'd be
Cooper, Debo,
and
McLaurin.
Yeah, that's insane. That means let you know right there, we trying to win right now.
They got money. They got the money.
Yeah. Give them a one-year deal, maybe worth 10, something like that.
We got a couple of other wide receivers that have made moves, and we just spoke on a few of them. Now, let me ask you this. As far as Cooper Kupp is concerned, being a Seahawk, I feel like the Seahawks kind of rebuilt on the fly. They had some holes at wide receiver. They brought in Marquez Valdes-Scantling. They brought in Cooper Kupp. So now they have the two of those guys plus JSN and Sam Darnold at the helm.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like they made some moves to free up some cash, but they aren't that different on offense as far as talent is concerned as they were before.
Mm-hmm.
But that also means that you aren't any more prepared to win than you were before, mm-hmm. in my humble estimation. So I'm
not sure if I like the cut move. I didn't understand it.
Because you needed to replace DK and Lockett, and he was the best wide receiver available.
So he's going to play on the outside?
Yeah. He ain't got no choice because JSN ain't going to be on the outside. So he's kind of going to be playing out of position. So they got a guy to come in and be a stud, and then they're going to immediately put him at a disadvantage because they can't put him at the slot because Smith and Jigba is not an outside guy. So, and not to mention the fact that you have Sam Darnold, whose carriage I think is about to turn back into a pumpkin this year.
Yeah, I don't know if I like that. I don't know if I like that for Cup.
You got Christian Kirk is now a Texan via trade. Devontae Adams is now a Ram. 2-year deal, $46 million. Like what do you think about these guys?
I love it. I love the Devonta move, Deontay move. I didn't understand the Kirk move. I guess maybe this is knocking on the thing saying that old boy ain't going to be quite ready.
Well, Kirk is a slot receiver. Tank Dell is an outside receiver. So I don't really know. Nico is obviously there. They didn't re-sign Diggs. I don't even know who that slot receiver was last year, to be honest. I don't know.
I think Diggs played in the slot a little bit last year.
So he's replacing Diggs. Okay.
I don't know. I don't like that. I don't like that move.
I don't want to bring in a guy that stays hurt if I have to bring in a guy because the guy is hurt.
Yeah.
That dog don't hunt.
Yeah, I ain't a fan of that.
And it could have just been one of those, well, let's add a position that we don't necessarily have to add right now just because we can get a guy at a much lower price than what he may be later. And you know, let's lock him up now while he's hurt so that way we don't have to pay premium price. But you also had Josh Palmer, who is now a Buffalo Bill, 3 years, $36 million. Dyami Brown is a Jaguar, 1 year, $10 million. Marquise Brown re-signed with the Chiefs. Tutu Atwell with the Rams. What do we think about these guys?
I think Dyami Brown, I don't know who his agent is, but they got over. $10 million for him? Mm-mm.
1 year, $10 million?
Nah, he got over. Tutu, they just bring another, you know, familiar face back into
the fold. Same contract, 1 year, $10 million.
Yeah, familiar face in the fold. I guess these guys do play maybe some special teams. And what's the last guy you said?
You had Josh Palmer with the Bills, 3 years, $36 million.
That's interesting. Palmer, that's an interesting move right there. I actually been seeing something. They were saying Diggs could possibly go back to Buffalo. So that's something to watch as well.
I think he has a better chance of going to the Cowboys and playing with his brother than he does going to Buffalo. And it'll be at a deal that Jerry Jones don't mind paying.
Maybe we see Amari Cooper go back to Dallas.
It's possible. I would actually like the Patriots, who have the money, to pony up a 2-year deal for two of these guys, be it Diggs and Cooper, be it Keenan Allen, and two of these free agents that's left. You need to be paying for two of them, like now.
I think they should draft that guy.
They should draft the guy too.
Yeah, I mean, you have sitting at four, they have the opportunity to get a guy like T-Mac. Or they can say, hey, let's get a 2-for-1 special and maybe get a guy like Travis Hunter.
They should do that. I agree. But I would do that and bring in somebody else.
Yeah.
Our wide receivers aren't anything to write home about right now. Kendrick Bourne is probably the best wide receiver. I'd take Diggs or Allen or anybody else on that list over him any day of the week. It's just no disrespect, but this is what it is on that one. DeAndre Hopkins, Ravens, 1 year, $6 million. DeMarcus Robinson, 49ers, 2 years, $9.5 million. Nick Westbrook Ikine is now a Dolphin, 2 years, $6.5 million. Marquez Valdez Scantling, Seahawks, 1 year, $5.5 million. Mike Williams back to the Chargers, 1 year, $6 million. Go ahead and let's round it out with this.
That's interesting. Mike, I like that move. Even though he doesn't stay healthy, but nah. But see, that's what I'm saying. He get 1-6 and then Dyami Brown get 1-10. That's all I'm saying. Like, he's nowhere near the receiver.
He's cashing in on what he was able to do last year without there really being a number two in Washington. And nobody really want to go to the Jaguars.
Hmm. You're paying that tax.
Exactly.
I don't think none of these moves are fantasy relevant. I'm not sure how this Hopkins, Lamar Jackson thing is going to look. I think you should fool somebody, you know, and trade them and just trade that name and trade the possibility of a connection. But I'm not really, I don't think it's going to be nothing that to call home about. The icon Dolphins move, it's whatever. He'll still be the fourth option in that pass attack, if not fifth option, really, in that pass attack.
Nah, fifth?
You think? Yeah, because Tyreek Hill.
Right. Wow. Jonnu Smith.
Jonnu Smith. A-chan.
A-chan. Yeah. You're right. I forgot about it. Yeah.
He'd be the fifth guy.
You're right.
In little whatever. So it's definitely not going to be working. Don't go chasing that. The Robinson move to the 49ers, I didn't quite understand it.
It's a body. What I think is happening, I think they about to trade Ayuk.
They should have been did that.
They should have paid him. They shouldn't have paid him. They should have traded him last year.
I agree totally. And maybe I think y'all still be interested.
I don't want to force feed someone to a team that didn't want to come to a team and get paid more than he just took to go to a team that he wanted to stay at.
Yeah, that's true.
Like I don't want that for Drake May. I don't want that for a new coaching staff. I'm not in the business of holding people hostage. If he didn't want to be there for more money, he definitely going to be sour grapes having to go there for what he agreed to play for the 49ers with. So, yeah, I would let them keep their problem there. But there are a few guys that I think we could trade for and be just fine. We would just have to kind of figure out what that's going to look like. But again, there's guys right now that are free, so why trade? Like, there's talented guys free right now that are looking for a job. I get that, but go young in the draft. Go veteran, free agent, so you know that you have a dependable guy that Drake May can go to, and you can build up the young guys because they have vets that they can kind of lean on in the locker room. I don't care how good of a coach you are. You're not about to go out there and run that route like an actual wide receiver is going to do.
I think the Patriots in trouble anyway to chop it up. Their defense is going to be better because they got Vrabel, but he hasn't shown that he can have a good offense himself. When he was in Tennessee, his offense was Achilles' heel.
I believe our offensive coaches, though, have shown the ability to run a good offense. And honestly, we're only one player away on offense, believe it or not. We shored up the offensive line.
One player away from doing what?
We need a wide receiver one. We got all the fill-in wide receivers. Pop Davis is a stud at slot. We got three dudes that can be a wide receiver too. Drake May has shown the ability to be a decent quarterback. We got run stoppers. We're going to have one of the best secondaries in the league. So, what
y'all
else?
Y'all got a pretty good defense with Vrabel, but I just don't think.
What else do you need other than a wide receiver one on offense now that we shored up the offensive line?
Y'all don't have enough. It's still not going to be enough.
That's what I'm saying. What else do you think you need? If you get a true wide receiver one, what else are you missing? Think about it, honestly.
Y'all missing a running back.
You don't think Stevenson is a running back?
He hasn't shown that he can. You talking about injury? You talking about these type of things? He hasn't shown me. He hasn't shown that he can complete the mission.
The thing with Stevenson is, he's not a guy that can be keyed in on and produce the way some of the other big name running backs do. And when you don't have a pass game to speak of, you're making life way more difficult for him than it has to be. But with where we're drafting, I'm not worried about running back. We can get a running back at the beginning of the fourth round and have a top four running back 9 times out of 10. The way things have been going as of late with running back. So
yeah, I just think your run game is not that good. I'm still not sold on Drake May.
Drake May has shown me enough to know that he's not the problem, even if he's not the solution.
Well, I just think the AFC has gotten a lot better around y'all. I just don't think y'all.
I agree with that too.
So with that,
don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not saying we about to like be contending with the Chiefs and that.
No, y'all just need an overhaul. I think I just
even
think
the Bengals.
There's a lot needed there.
But the thing about it is.
So you're not one player away. No.
No, I disagree. The reason why we're one player away, is because our division is not very good. I'm not scared of the Jets. I'm not scared of Miami. And I'm not scared of Buffalo. We play Buffalo tight without having a number one wide receiver. And our, again, as you said, our defense is about to be better. If we get a number one wide receiver, I believe we can hang with every team in our division. And that's all you got to do to make it to the playoffs. So, you know, that's why I say we're one player away. You give me a number one wide receiver, our defense will be good enough with the pieces that we have to slow down every single team in our division for sure.
Y'all was 4-13.
I understand.
That's not one player away.
It is when the off. Well, no. Also, I'm not saying that the team we had last year was one player away. We got a ton of dudes this offseason. One of the best run stoppers that was in Tennessee is now a Patriot. The best run stopper at defensive tackle.
You talking about Landry? Now a Patriot.
Yeah. When Landry was with running in Vrabel scheme, he was one of the best run stoppers in the league. Now you put him with Milton.
Okay.
I love our D line.
No, defensively, y'all going to be good.
I think it's Gonzalez. Gonzalez with, dang, I can't remember the other cornerback we just brought in, but he a beast too. Those two guys, our defense is going to be legit. I'm not worried about that at all.
No, I think that I said that. I think defensively, Vrabel always put out a nice product.
But we increased our offensive line. That's going to make life easier for the quarterback and for the running back. All we need is a true stud at wide receiver. We already have a wide receiver too and a slot wide receiver. That's all I'm saying. And we got Polk and Baker, who will be under much better tutelage in their sophomore year than they were in their freshman year. So we don't even actually know what we're going to get out of those two yet. Not saying that they're going to end up being wide receiver ones. But again, we have plenty of guys that can be the number two. We just need a true number one. So that's kind of where I am with that. I think we would have one of the most complete teams in our division as long as we have a wide receiver one. Couple more guys to talk about as we wrap it up at tight end. Evan Engram, Broncos, 2 years, $23
million.
Yeah. Zach Ertz re-signed with the Commanders. Mike Gesicki re-signed with a 3-year, $25.5 million contract with the Bengals. Juwan Johnson re-signed with the Saints, 3 years, $30 million. Those are really the only tight ends to speak of as far as fantasy is concerned. I really like what the Broncos are doing.
Oh, yeah.
They're putting together a squad. They get one more wide receiver. Like, I kind of feel that. Don't hear what I'm not saying. I think Bo Nix is a better quarterback than Drake May, but I think the teams will be similar, a similar makeup, if you will. They're both a wide receiver away from being as close to complete before injury as a team can be.
I don't know if they're a wide receiver away. They may be a run game away because the wide receiver Sutton.
You don't think Estime and McLaughlin going to take the next step this year?
I think if they had something better,
you think they maybe trade for AK?
I don't know about that. I just think that if they had something better in the fold, they can really do some numbers.
Because they would it would have to be a trade because there's not really any free agents worth mentioning that can come in and kind of make it.
Unless there's a rookie in there that, I mean, we see rookies all the time lead the league in rushing. I mean,
yeah,
running back is one of the easiest positions to translate to the NFL, you know what I mean? So unless that's is one of those guys, but they're close. Their defense is really good. Had one of the best pass rushes this past season. Sutton Mims, they show some promise, you know what I'm saying? I think they got some guys.
What's your boy?
Is it Vele?
Vele
or whatever?
Something like that. Yeah. But he showed up.
I do love this Engram move though. I think he can be right back in that top five as far as fantasy tight ends is concerned. He landed in the best spot he can land in, leaving from under Peterson.
and with a coach that uses the tight end almost as much as his former coach did.
Yeah, they're doing some pretty good stuff over there in Denver. They picked up Greenlaw from the 49ers. They pick up Hufanga. So they got two Pro Bowl caliber players to add to the defense that they already had. So this team is going to be pretty interesting.
The Broncos may be one of those teams that can come out of nowhere and never go away.
Yeah.
And that's a lot coming from me because I do not like Sean Payton. I don't. Yeah. But I can't be
– I think they bought
him. Mad at the way he went about it, but I can't be mad at the result.
Yeah. So, I think they bought into what he's selling right now.
Agreed. Ertz and Mike Gesicki. Do we think that Ertz is still the go-to guy, or does the rookie from last year, I think it's Sanault, or does he kind of take a step forward? Is Mike Gesicki, based on the fact that he just got a 3-year contract and they can't afford to pay anybody else, is this a sneaky guy now because their rookies from last year didn't really work out very well? And I think Gesicki might have had one of the better years that he's had in some years.
Mm-hmm.
But if Higgins and Chase are both healthy and you have the other Chase in Chase Brown out of the backfield, I don't know how many more balls are going to be available for whoever the tight end is. So is Ertz or Gesicki going to be irrelevant?
Ertz can be. He's just the old man with the cold hand. I mean, he finished like four.
Jonnu Smith finished four.
So Ertz finished what? He was up there.
I think Ertz might have finished.
No.
Fifth or sixth, if I'm not mistaken.
He finished seventh. Okay.
Seventh. Okay.
Well, that's pretty good considering.
Wait, I mean, because you didn't draft him. He came out the trash.
Right. So.
And he's not going to go much higher this year. So if you punt the tight end position, he's a guy.
Yeah, he's good in around the red zone. And he knows.
But actually, let me ask you this. Now that they have Debo and they probably draft a guy, I don't know if he gets the same run this year. They kind of threw the ball to him last year out of necessity. There won't be as many balls to go around this coming year based on them having additional receivers. So you got to take that into account as well.
He's going to be more of a touchdown dependent tight end, if that makes sense, with Debo there. So, yeah, he might not be getting a lot from 20 to 20, but I think still around the red zone, he'll still be a guy that Jaden Daniels will be looking to get the ball to.
And that pretty much wraps it up for this week. We will be back to you on next week, and we're probably going to either start diving into a couple of rookies or we may speak on a couple as we make the topic of the show in general, you know, something else. But we'll start dissecting the teams and getting ready for the rookie drafts as far as Dynasty is concerned. We're definitely going to also talk about, and this may actually be next week's show, talking about guys that as far as Dynasty is concerned, because I know most of the guys that are paying the most attention to fantasy right now are going to be your Dynasty players. We're going to give you some Dynasty value guys, whether it be, you know, your elder statesmen that you can get a great year out of if you're in win now mode, or if it be some guys that you can get cheap now before they make the blow up, or some guys that you can expect a little bit more out of now with coaching changes, things of that nature. But we're here for you. We're going to make sure that you have an excellent fantasy season. Make sure you stick with us. Tell a friend, follow, join, subscribe, all that good stuff. For this week, we are out. We'll see you next week. And remember, always tell the truth and nothing but the truth. We out.